I guess the right thing to talk about for our cold open this week is that Archer was renewed for season 13.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
13. Yeah, so this will be the first season without Jessica Walter. I'm really curious how they're going to do that, or if they like happened to write her out already in season 12. I don't know. There's only a few more episodes coming in season 12, but it sounds like they were kind of, I heard some people comment that it seems like they're writing there. It maybe seemed like they were writing her out. Maybe they did that later. I don't know. It seems like it would be hard. Would have been hard to do after she died, but
sweet angel.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah, rough.
But that's crazy. Season 13, and now also it's on FXX, which is like suddenly an adult animation like hub, which is weird because now they're replaying. They have replays for their reruns of Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, King of the Hill. Family Guy and Cleveland Show. Did I say Family Guy? I said it twice.
Yeah, you sure did. You sure did.
Family Guy deserves to be said twice.
Two families, two guys.
All right. Let's bring back the Family Guy meter. It's up to two. So that's like they've got all of these adult animated shows on FXX now, and they're keeping Archer. I wonder if they'll do any originals in addition to that, or if they'll just be like, we're just going to rerun every adult animated show we have access to.
Which is funny, is just because they just remembered, oh shit, we own all of these.
Yeah.
let's just play them.
I do think they were also like waiting for contracts to expire with other networks and cable networks.
That's still Viacom though, right? Like because King of the Hill was on Comedy Central for a little bit, wasn't it? That's still...
King of the Hill was on Comedy Central for a little bit, but I don't know how recently it was. Family Guy just ended at Adult Swim.
But it was already, they put Family Guy everywhere. Like the shit was on like Freeform. Like,
right, it was on TV.
It was already on FXX. Like it was already there. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Crazy.
You guys, Yo-Yo and Ham are in the background and they're both being cute.
That's true. They are.
Sorry, I got a little distracted because they're so cute.
Here's Ponyo.
Look at your baby. Hi, Yo-Yo. Hi.
Go chase Hamlet. For everyone listening and not watching, I just held up my dog. She's cute as always. Just imagine the cutest dog.
Oh, yeah. Just like picture a dog. She's like a little scruff muffin and she's so cute.
She is a scruff muffin.
She sure is.
That's a good description. There's some good dogs in this season of Archer.
There's a lot.
There's a great dog. There's one of my
favorites. Big
Pug.
Yeah.
Great dog.
Well, let's. I guess that's a good way to cue the theme song and start talking about Archer. Theme song.
You bet it is.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a Family Guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs amok. The show and spies is the same guy, except he totally say f***. End of verse.
Let's watch cartoons that curse.
What the f*** is up, everybody? Welcome to Cartoons That Curse, the podcast where we talk about cartoons that say swear words. My name is Johnny. I'm here with my co-host, Tariq. Tariq, how you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
He's How are you right. doing? Guys, Tariq is all right. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty okay. mostly good.
That's what matters to me.
Got some video stuff done this week that I was stressed about, and I finished it, and now I feel better. But I still have lots to do, so you know.
What's going to happen when you ask me how I'm doing, and one day I just say bad?
We're just going to turn this into cartoons that therapy, and we're going to talk about
cartoons
that
counsel.
Yeah, cartoons that counsel.
Okay, but that also kind of sounds like y'all might be public defenders. Just like public defenders and therapists.
Yes, and our first client is our guest, Whitney Van Lanning.
Yay! I will need you guys to both bail me out of jail someday. I just took that as confirmation that you will and that you'll listen to me about it and be empathetic afterwards.
That's right. You have a right to an attorney.
And with that, Whitney, how are you today? How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. I decided, as usual, I didn't really decide as much as I just compulsively, once again, got violently high. But this time, I'm also drinking because we're talking about Archer, and who am I if not a functioning alcoholic? So I decided that today's the one day it's acceptable for me to advertise just how darn good I am at things, even when I'm shit can wasted. Just kidding. I'm not shit can wasted, but you get the metaphor.
I thought you were for sure about to hold up a bottle of balls.
That's why I froze. That's why I froze.
Are you about to hit me? Uh-oh. I goddamn wish. No.
Callback to her first appearance when we talked about Rick and Morty season 3. Yeah. And we all freaked out about balls.
Dude, oh my god. I screamed. It was so good.
You did scream so loud.
I do it frequently, and like I always like when I text you and I laugh really hard at something, I tell you like I just screamed, and like you gotta believe me because I did it last time.
Are you guys the kind of people that if you're laughing really hard, you record the voice note of you laughing and send it? Because I do that.
Oh, no, I never done that. That's a really good idea, though. That shit is so funny. That is very funny. I think that I wouldn't, because I kind of also typically like do the thing where like my body collapses when I start laughing too hard. So I'm usually just like, you know, like a little like, so it's like I get sucked into the quicksand of the couch. And so, yes, I don't know if I'd be dexterous enough to hit the record button in time to properly capture my cackles.
Well, you should try anyways, because maybe the chaos of you trying to do it might be just as fun.
I have this one on my phone that I'm gonna see if I could play it because it's probably the loudest I've ever laughed in my entire life. And the fact that it's documented is really funny. Here it is.
Is that real? That's real laughter?
That was genuine. Like I was dying of laughter.
Oh my god,
right,
that's
there.
Amazing.
Oh, I love it.
Dude, that's
I love
amazing.
It so much.
Maybe we should start doing that, cellos.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going to record myself laughing, and then I'm just going to send them to random people without context.
No context,
no context at all. I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you laughing?
Man, speaking of laughing real hard, Tariq, you got to, next time we play D&D, John and I just played D&D together for the first time the other night, and I have like never fucking laughed that hard. You have to play with us next time because you will love it. We were just being so stupid the whole time and it somehow worked out. And it was just, it was fucking great. John was a curmudgeonly wizard named Crumbum. And his whole thing was that he was grumpy, and I can't stop thinking of the name Crumbum. Like it like enters my brain like four times a day, like a fucking intrusive thought. Like I'm thinking of getting on medication for it, actually. Like,
really. That's all I wanted when I named my character Crumbum. Is just, I hope that this somehow seeps into somebody's brain for at least a month, you know, they're always thinking about me and my curmudgeonly warlock.
It's killing me that like nobody will ever know how fucking funny Crumbum was that night. I'm so mad. We should have recorded it, but we were just shooting the shit.
It was fun.
Just chasing dungeons, chasing dank dark dungeons.
So you know what? Sometime.
I think it all worked out. It's something that we can share, and everyone can wish. Everyone can just wish that they experienced.
But now it's immortalized. The story is immortalized.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start talking about Archer season 4.
Wow.
So we've been covering Archer slowly. We started months ago, and then we finally got to season 2 and 3, and then we took a break for Rick and Morty season 5, and now we're finally on to season 4. Whitney, you rewatched season 4 for this, but did you rewatch any other Archer, or did you just jump into season 4?
I just jumped into season 4. However, listen to y'all's season 3 episode, obviously.
Nice. That's just as good.
I'm a fan. So,
we appreciate you. Archer season 4. So season 3, I think, is my favorite season of Archer. And season 4 is really fun. I had a lot of fun with it, especially like it starts off in such a season 4 feels so different than I remembered. Because they do all these like crossovers. And
it's great.
Like, Yeah. And they're kind of like, it's weird how many there are.
Yeah.
Because there's like three kind of, there's like two crossovers, and there's one that's like kind of a crossover, but more of a parody. And they also like introduced new characters this season. Mm-hmm. Like Rodney is a big new character, the guy who
out of fucking nowhere, by the way.
Yeah. And then Ron.
Yeah.
Right. Again, introduced out of fucking nowhere.
Right. But Ron, I think, is a really funny character, and he's introduced in this one. He's apparently the inciting incident for Archer's whole like I'm gonna go have amnesia thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I learned moments before we started this podcast is that Ron is played by a guy named Ron Liebman, who was Jessica Walter's actual IRL husband.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I didn't know that.
I know. He passed in 2019, but he did this role on Archer, which is crazy. That's just, I thought he's got such a funny voice, and I guess he is an actor too, but, I thought he was a really funny character. Ron Cadillac is a funny
Ron
name.
Cadillac. It's a lot like Sammy Paradise and Dan Flash is. It's just one of those names. Yeah, I really want Chilos to be Sammy Paradise for Halloween.
I don't think anybody who's listening knows who Sammy
Paradise
is.
I don't give a shit, John. I know and you know. And that's what the fuck matters. Shut
old
the fuck up and be
himself.
Sammy. And the old Two Eyes himself. I want it. I want to see it and I want it so bad.
Lady Luck. Well, if you don't know who Sammy Paradise is, look him up. Great man, that Sammy Paradise. Not really, he's awful.
I like that you're telling people to look him up, and they're gonna be like, look him up? Like what, Johnny? I should read his Wikipedia? And it's like, no, you just need to find him.
I did just search Sammy Paradise, and there's a lot of funny images of him on Google. So it worked out. Oh, good stuff.
That's
well,
a good name, though.
It's a great name.
And so is Ron Cadillac. Sorry, that was what I related that to. My brain's a little all over the place, if you can't tell.
One time, I got a text from a bot that said that the bot's name was Hillary Hill, and I laughed for like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
I think Hillary Hill is the funniest name I've ever heard.
Oh, no, that's fucking great. And I love that that's a bot, too, because it's like some robot thought really hard about that, you know? And if you think about robots, like maybe they're like kindergartners, you know, like they're just starting out, and like that robot was like, I'm going to be Hillary Hill. And it was just like,
everybody's
you know,
like, yeah, good job.
Yeah, like, oh, good job. It's like how, like, when I was in kindergarten, I wanted my name to be Ashley. You know, like, it was probably like one of those things.
It was like a young AI.
Yeah,
AI
like a young,
really
a young, fresh AI. A little one.
Floppy disk.
And they let it choose its own name. Like,
and it did
you know,
a bad
like that
job.
Movie Jungle to Jungle with Tim Allen, where they let the kid, like, pick his own name and he chooses Cat Piss and his name is Mimi Siku. Like that, but Hillary Hill, but it's an AI.
I did not remember that about Jungle to Jungle.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. His child's name was Cat Piss because they let the child choose his own name when he was six.
That's a thing. That's just a thing. That's a thing in other movies too. Big Daddy, when he's like, "Hey, Julian, what do you want to name yourself?" He names himself Frankenstein. It's pretty good name. Big Daddy's a good movie. Anyways, we should talk about it.
Fucking love Big Daddy. No, Mom, shut up. All right.
All right. This is my fault. I keep tangenting and it's not cool.
No. Okay. Honestly, this is the fastest we've gotten to the season since we've started doing this podcast.
Last week we talked.
Dude, I totally noticed that because I was like, the other day when I was listening to your Archer season 3, I realized I'd been listening to it for like 27 minutes before you guys said a word about the show. And I was like, well, damn, this was enjoyable, but also, whoa, like, I didn't realize I'd been listening to it for that long. And it was just y'all shooting the shit, but it was great. It was very funny.
It's better that way. But we, last week, we were 3 episodes short because we did Heart of Archness by itself. And so we were like, oh, I hope we have enough to talk about. It turns out we had way more than enough to talk about. We did great. We really nailed it. But Whitney, your punishment for getting us off track is talking about an episode I know you love.
Yay!
The first one. Dugan Risk. Talk about Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember the first time I watched this. I was just so excited because I was at the height of my Archer and Bob's Burgers addiction. And I like fucking loved revisiting this episode. It's just so fun. It's fun and it's funny. And I love the animation style of the Bob's Burgers characters. It just like, oh God, just looking at them gives me the giggles. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
I really love that they decided to do this.
Yeah.
That is so fucking weird.
It's so and that fucking also... weird and it's so cool. And H. John Benjamin is the best.
Yeah. And then also that, just that, like, the people from Archer had this idea and were like, hey, Lauren Bouchard, can we do this? And he's like, yeah, sure. No problem. You can do Bob's. You can do a Bob's Burgers thing. As much as I love it, I love this episode. I love they cross over. I love seeing the Bob's Burgers restaurant in the Archer style.
I know exactly where you're about to go.
It's something that makes me, it just frustrates me a little, is that it kids not talking out of character for all three of them.
Oh yeah.
all of the kids being there but not talking at all.
And they show up at the end of the season.
I know. I was literally going to say that next. It's so bizarre that at the end of the season it's like Gene and Louise, but in the beginning, no. Like,
why didn't they just pay them for two episodes?
Why didn't they just do that?
Yeah, just have them at least, like, even they only needed a single line each.
Yeah, they could have done it all in one recording session, even.
There's just no way that Gene and Louise wouldn't have had something to say if they watched their new stepdad, Bob Archer, murder a bunch of people. They would have had a lot to say based on my knowledge of Bob's Burgers.
They do a small character thing with Louise when he shoots him, like, she smiles. I noticed that. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's a character thing.
Louise would smile about that.
I just feel like they missed an opportunity to have Tina going like, the whole time.
Oh, you're right. That
would have
been so good.
I know it was probably just like a logistics and or like budgetary thing to not have so many guest stars in one episode, but I think it would have gone a long way. But either way, it was still really cool, and I love seeing them in that style. It's great.
I also really do enjoy that Dan Mintz's voice really is just like that. Like,
right?
It's not a character voice. That's just his real voice. It's so funny.
Well, when they originally made the pilot, Tina was a boy and they cast Dan Mintz. And when they changed the character to Tina, they were just like, well, it's still going to be Dan Mintz.
Yeah. So like, oh, no, 100%.
I love it.
I have to tell a story where I brag about our producer, Mikey, for a minute. Mikey was an intern on Nathan For You, a really great comedy show.
Oh,
and we went
hell
to,
yeah, that's awesome.
We went to this, like, we went to the rap party and they did like an intern roast, and Mikey whipped out his like his John Benjamin impression for a minute, which is very strong. And Dan Mintz was there because he's friends with the creators of the show. And he told Mikey how good his John Benjamin impression was,
damn,
which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so cool.
Amazing.
So kudos to our
producer, Mikey.
I have a tiny
Dan Mintz brag too. Which is that in like 2012, when I was working at Letterman, I was the human talent intern. So that meant that I booked all of the stupid human tricks, stupid pet tricks, and stand-up comedians. Like, obviously, under my supervisor, I was an intern. I didn't personally. But one of the things that we would do is we would go see like fresh comics on the scene, like stand-ups who weren't famous yet. And so we'd always go to these like random comedy shows, and Dan Mintz was one of the people that I helped book on the show, because I was like,
cool.
I was like, I fucking love him, please. And so I got to meet him, and I was like, hi, I love you.
You were like, ah. Oh, good stuff. What a good cast, those Bob's Burgers. We'll talk about Bob's eventually on the pod. That's a good show.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We're just completely derailing.
I derailed. I mean, we specifically, like, that's how this works. Those were two good stories. This other slight tangent, they should put Bob's Burgers on Disney Plus. It fits. It should be on Disney Plus. Just
so.
Putting that out
I was
there.
Just Disney watching Plus. Simpsons yesterday.
They own it.
Yeah. I was they just watching Simpsons yesterday.
I know, but it's so crazy to think about that.
The fact that they have all of the Simpsons on there makes no sense that they don't have something like Bob's Burgers on
right.
there.
Right. Yeah,
this now means that Tina Belcher is a Disney princess if she gets on there.
Finally.
That's what that would mean.
Oh, it's about time.
Also, it's just us, though, because other countries have their Disney Plus has an adult animation section that has everything.
Oh. Really?
Like I think it's
because there's
Family
more streaming contracts here. There's
the
a bunch of streaming contracts.
Is the United States just trying to fuck over this podcast or what?
Mm. I think it's because Hulu. I think it's because Hulu exists here. And there's a lot of contracts with Hulu in the U.S. streaming that like they can't. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot to it. But I think they'll eventually do it. Because Bob's Burgers is like, it's wholesome like The Simpsons. You know what I mean? It's like wholesome family show. Like Family Guy might not fit on Disney Plus, but Bob's Burgers fits on Disney Plus.
Oh my God. Can you even imagine Meg Griffin as a Disney princess? No, thank you.
I would appreciate that, but that's just me.
Yeah, it would definitely be the first Disney princess with a beanie. So, you know, I guess I support
that. Is
that
true? Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, like, logistically, Elsa should have been wearing a beanie the whole time. It's cold.
It's fucking brick outside.
What the fuck are you doing? But like she
wow.
did.
So. They need to release a special edition of Frozen where they add
where they
in
dress
a beanie.
Properly.
Fix it.
Everybody
fix
just
the
has
movie.
They just have North Face jackets.
Yeah, they all have on like heavy ass North Faces.
Yeah.
What if they're all just in 80s windbreakers out in?
I love it. I love that too. Bob's Burgers is definitely it's definitely more wholesome, but at the same time, Linda definitely calls Archer Ike Turner in this when he says tells her to go in the kitchen, like he yells and she's like, "Oh, okay, Ike Turner."
Yeah. They got John Roberts to do Linda for this, which is great. Yeah. Love Linda at all times.
Oh man, Linda's the best because she makes up songs like I do. You know, like, so I really respect a lady who's just constantly making up songs.
I love Linda. Bob's is a good show. We'll talk about Bob's. We'll talk about Bob's eventually. Comment below when you want to hear that, if you want to hear us talk about Bob's Burgers more.
Comment below and say you want to listen to me talk about Bob's Burgers so that they have
what do you guys, any other thoughts on this one besides how great the Bob's Burgers stuff is? I really like I love how they implemented that as like him having amnesia because of what happened with his mom. It's the reason is that his mom's getting got married, right?
Yeah,
it was why he just gives himself amnesia for some reason, which admittedly seems like some of the development we may have expected from season three kind of went out the window immediately. There's a great Burt Reynolds episode is so good in season three, and the whole kind of arc of that is Archer coming to terms with his mom being happy and him allowing that, and this time they're just like, oh, amnesia, he's gonna give kid amnesia as soon as his mom's getting married. But still a good episode premise.
I wrote I guess it didn't work out with Bert. I wrote that in my notes. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably just couldn't get him back, which is a bummer because he was great all-time Archer character, to be honest. Burt Reynolds, he's up there. He's really good. You guys got any other thoughts on this episode? Should we move on to the next one?
I'm good.
I just think Archer has really great season openers. I think
they do.
It's like, out of all the shows that we talked about, it's like, it might be the best at it so far. Like, all of these first ones have always been really, really, really solid.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, and I like this one a lot. I like the Cheryl does the LSD gummies, and they have like a great payoff at the end. Like the end beat is hilarious.
What are they called? Gushy bears or something? What are they?
I'm not even sure. I just know that when I heard LSD gummies, I got very frightened. Like, I was like, that shit. I don't know.
And especially because she just keeps eating them. Like, that's like one gummy should be enough, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's rough.
I don't think one dummy's enough for Cheryl, to be honest.
Okay, but not like, but like 20 gummies is just dangerous for any human being.
All of these people have like the tolerance of oxes, however. Like,
I think they have the tolerance of cartoons.
Yeah, fine. You're right.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. It's called The Wind Cries Mary. It has a great guest performance from Timothy Oliphant. It's about an agent going rogue who used to be roommates with Archer, and they're like old friends. And as it turns out, he is super gay for Archer. He's like really into Archer. But it's like they really go out of their way to be like, the only man I'm attracted to is Archer. That's it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean, bisexuality in men, so overlooked by society. What a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's bisexual, even if he's only attracted to one man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they went far out of their way to specify that it was only Archer.
But don't worry, middle America, he's still mostly straight. This is just a joke, as being bisexual often is.
Mm.
I feel like I make fun of us. It's fine.
This episode brings in more Rodney, right? Did they just bring in Rodney a bunch for every episode, the first few episodes of the season? And I don't know. This episode, like, the only things that super stand out in this episode were the ending to me and the, like, bromance that Timothy Oliphant was, like, obsessed with Archer. But the solution to this episode I wrote down is a ridiculous, where Cyril strips naked and they create a like pulley trap with a fallen tree.
Yeah, she breaks the tree.
It seemed like a bad plan. It worked.
I don't think you should ever submerge your dick in snow. Even if you're a secret agent, even if someone asks you really nice, even if you're about to die, even if there's a big tree nearby. I wouldn't do it. I don't think I have a penis, but I can imagine I wouldn't do it.
I don't think I would either. But also just like the pulley, like Rube Goldberg system they built out of their clothes and a fallen tree barely makes sense. And also like really relies on that guy not understanding at all that they built this like Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, he's just
and then he has to stand perfectly under the fallen tree.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of.
it was some Wile E. Coyote shit.
Yep, for sure. But then they crush Timothy Oliphant, and he gets super dead. He gets super dead about it.
Such a bummer.
Yeah. Super dead. Looked up when this episode came out, because I was like, what year was it? And so it was 2013, so this episode definitely dropped during like peak like How I Met Your Mother time, and like that whole time where like a dude being gay for another dude is the wackiest punchline. And so like I was like, 2013, that definitely makes sense. That totally makes sense.
I was gonna look up the year, because there's a joke a couple episodes later that's fucking rough.
There was a couple
where I was like, I don't know.
There's one in particular where I said, whoa, like I like audibly like yelled. I was like, that's rough.
There's actually a lot this season. Like I felt like there were more times this season where I was like, whoa, they made that joke more than the first three seasons, which obviously all came out before this. So it was kind of shocking.
No, the season went really hard on what I guess can only be described as early 2010s humor.
Right.
Because in the early 2010s, you could just do this shit and no one would bat a fucking eye. And it's like...
Yeah, but it even feels like this stuff... But it's weird because it feels like this stuff would have been like 2000s type of humor. It feels like even this earlier in the 2010s, they would have been moving away from it. But for Archer to have not really done that much of it in the first three seasons,
and they just know what it means.
And then all of a sudden, they're just like, what if we take a hard left?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few that I remember being like, oh, this doesn't age well. That's a little shocking. I don't know. This was a lot lower on my list for the season. Do you guys have any thoughts on the Wind? Any other thoughts on the Wind Cries Mary? Anything else stand out to you?
Lana calls Archer. That voicemail is so fucking funny. He says, "Lana, listen."
I love that they keep going with the voicemail gags in this season, which started last season, which feels like it was just a thing throughout Archer, but it started in season three, and. I like how they subvert it in this season, which I don't even remember which ones they do it, but they have ones where like Archer is calling Mallory and she's like, do you think I'm stupid? I know this is just another voicemail. He's like, I'm calling you.
I was obviously, like I already said like twice, I was listening to y'all season three, and I really badly wanted to tell you guys my fake answering machine from seventh grade.
Oh, tell us,
please.
So when I was in the seventh grade, on the life of me, I can't even fucking remember why we thought this joke was so funny. But my friend Cassie and I, we recorded my voicemail together because I created this character. And so my voicemail was, hello, my name is Sebastian. I play in a punk rock band. I play the flute. If you are interested in placing me in your punk rock band, I am available between the hours of 3:35 and 6:42. Thank you. Goodbye. And that was my voicemail for so fun. It was my voicemail until I think I had to like switch services in high school.
Jeez.
And my mom fucking hated it, and all my friends fucking hated it, because this was also like the early 2000s when you couldn't just like press a button to skip someone's voicemail. You had to listen to the whole entire thing.
How many people do you think just didn't leave voicemails because they thought they called the wrong number?
I don't know. All my fellow seventh graders always thought it was very funny, so they would usually leave me voicemail. but I think that's because we were 12. Yeah, my peers loved it. My parents, not so much.
I'm going to, even though I'm 24... I'm going to take Johnny's old one about the used towels.
Yeah, the used towels. Honestly, fuck it. I should redo Sebastian. Although I did a thing as an adult where I decided I don't want people to leave me voicemails anymore. So I just let all my voicemails stack up and I never deleted them. And now my voicemail inbox is full so that no one can ever leave me a fucking voicemail again. So that's where I'm at in my life, but maybe I should change my outgoing message back to Sebastian. Spice things up, punk rock
do it
style.
I want to call. I'm gonna call you and hope for Sebastian every day. I'm
and
gonna call
pray.
You.
Hope and pray.
Pray that I can hire Sebastian to be in my punk rock band. I need a flautist.
You need one. I thought that was the funniest joke when I was 12. I was like, this is comedy gold. No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's not.
I was watching much SNL as a 12-year-old. Like, I was like, I can make a character. I could do a bit.
You were just 12 years old.
All right.
Well, let's move on to Legs, episode 3. What do we got?
What's the ending beat to this? Because... I just remember what happens after. Something, I should have wrote it down. I forgot what happens at the end, but all I know is there's like I know there's a sharp cut to everybody driving in the car. And they give Lana this really worried face that I've never seen like any character on the show have. Like they made her like, she looks super scared. Like, and it said, I can't remember for the life of me what the ending beat is, but whatever it is, that they saw that moment with that face.
Yeah, I remember it now, and it was kind of problematic, actually.
It's
like the whole reveal with Troy and Archer of the end of the episode, which does not go over well. You remember? I don't even want to talk about it. It's so gross.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's pretty rough.
It's like the reveal that, yeah, it's no good.
I just remember laughing at the face they gave Lana because the drawing was right. So funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it is. Oh, okay, now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's move on to Legs.
Legs.
Which is another episode that I like. Like the thing I remember most about Legs is Rodney. That he was like the standout to me in Legs. There's a lot of Rodney in this one. But I do like that they keep bringing back bionic stuff, like keep giving people bionic legs or make them cyborgs. I guess they differentiate in this one. But what do you guys think about Legs? How did you like this episode?
I like Legs.
I did. You like Legs? Very funny. Yeah. I really
like tell me why you like Legs, because it was very forgettable for me.
Really?
I love the concept in general. Like you said, like I love like just the concept of wanting to give Ray the robot. And then they're like, man, they're fucking killing Ray. Like at a certain point, there's just blood everywhere. Like, it's like all over the room. And I put around the end of the episode, I wrote, bro, they're killing Ray. And then my next note says, never mind. Because he's like, I think the next shot was him like doing a jig because he had his legs.
Like a boop, and then he just like can walk.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I guess they, oh, okay. So first of all, Mallory clearly likes Ron because he's racist. Clearly.
Yeah.
Absolutely so. And then they flash back. And
flashback?
Yeah, when he's I'm going to the club and it has a lot of Negroes and jazz. My jaw fell to the floor. Negroes and
jazz.
There was a lot this season.
What the hell?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
And then isn't his response like, I'm actually a big fan?
Like, I'm actually a big fan of Negroes and jazz. Yeah. Bam.
Oh my god. But there are a lot more flashbacks to Mallory just being a horrible mom, because that's in the middle of a flashback of like Archer needing to go to the hospital and the doctor's there.
Instead I'm gonna go to the jazz club.
Which is a callback, because they established that earlier already, so it's like part of another thing that we'd already knew happened. Pretty messed up. Archer had a weird childhood.
That shit was fucking rough. But they do, because you know how every episode has the jokes that they like, the running joke of the episode that they call back to a few times, and the one for this one is then why'd you ask? Like they'll say something like the elevator stuff, like where Ray's like, is the elevator broken? And like he's going back and forth with the dude, and the dude doesn't hear him, and so like Ray's just finally like. Until the dude's just like, huh? He says, the elevator. He's like, oh, no, it's broken. I know. And why'd you ask? Yeah. They do that a couple of times. It reminds me of, there's a scene. I haven't even seen School Days, but there's a scene in School Days that I know because my friend Steve always mentions it. It's two guys. They're at like a restaurant, and they're talking to the waitress. And they ordered chicken, and she says, you want white meat or dark meat? And the guy says, I want white meat. So his friend answers for him and says, oh, he wants white meat. We don't have any white meat. Then why'd you ask? Like, and I always think of that bit. But they do that a couple of times in this, and I like that.
That's good here. That does seem to be like a recurring joke style this season. They did that. They do that a lot, and I like that Archer continues to like find new things to recur, because it's like, you know, obviously it can't just be constant callbacks, but to build new things that become callbacks is good. You know, if they were still just constantly calling back, if like all they were doing is calling back Danger Zone, it would get old. Right. It would get old. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're always coming up with new stuff, which is good, which is honestly, I think one of the part of the legacy of Archer is like, even down to the idea that they did Archer Vice after this and then did the dream seasons, like the whole show is sort of, constantly trying to evolve and stay fresh, which I think is great. Mm. It's good. More shows should strive to do that. This is tangentially related to what I just seasoned y'all with a little Archer info. So I was on the Archer wiki, and I didn't realize that the Archer fan base divides Archer into three different like eras. They have Classic Archer, which is seasons 1 through 7. They call that Classic Archer.
Jeez.
And then Dream Archer, which is seasons 8, 9, and 10, which is all of the coma seasons, Dreamland, Danger Island in 1999. Okay. And then everything else after that they call Modern Archer.
That's funny.
So yeah, okay. It's weird. They've already, I guess the show's been on long enough that it makes sense, but it doesn't feel like the term Classic Archer should be a thing yet. Maybe I'm just getting old.
See, because I was, my thought process was, this was the last, at least in a row, like normal season, right? Because it's Vice after
is after this, but season 6 and 7 are kind of more normal.
Oh, okay. I guess in my head, I'm like, in a row, right? Before they did, Vice was like the first time they did something like that, but like. Yeah, I guess it's 6 and 7, 8 just kind of go back.
I can't
remember, honestly. So.
Actually, I do guess season 7 did have a bit of a change, because 6 pretty much goes back to spy stuff, but then 7 they move to LA and they do and they become PIs. They do start the Figgis agency and become private investigators. so there is a little bit of a change there, but it is, you know, like similar. It's still similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And season 6 is finally the first season where they're like, well, we can't call it our ISIS anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of the name.
That's another like major thing about this show.
Yeah. You know what? The terrorists should have to change their name. Archer.
Yeah,
had it first.
Why, yeah, exactly. Make the terrorists change. I think if we get all the celebrities to sing Imagine at the terrorists, they'll change their name.
It'll inspire.
Let's get the celebrities to make a new Imagine video.
Yeah.
Imagine there's no ISIS. All right, we're moving on.
Moving on before I let John sing even more of that song.
Yeah, or John Lennon's estate sues us.
Let's get Sarah Silverman on the phone, man. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Such a bummer. I like Sarah Silverman. I can't believe she was in that. All right. Legs. Anything else about legs? Does this episode have legs?
Does this episode have legs? Is that what you're
asking? There's some legs in it, all right. There's a couple.
There's some legs.
I do love Pam in this. I love that she's just, you know, red beer wasted. And
Pam is so good in this season.
Doing her dang thing. Yeah, Pam is peak. Peak goodness.
Pam, season 3 is finally when Pam like evolves into... to this Pam, and this Pam is like, they're just fully embracing her. Like, oh, yeah. Here's Pam.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what? Sorry for a small tangent. Our first Simpsons tangent. I was watching The Simpsons the other day and I thought of Archer immediately because there's a joke in season 3 where Pam is like, Archer wants to see how many pool balls Pam can fit in her mouth.
Right, yeah.
And she goes like, my record is 3 or whatever. I was watching Round Springfield, and when the lawyers come to help Bart, Lionel Hutz is like, this is so-and-so. He can fit 3 billiard balls in his mouth. And he opens his mouth and he's got 3 billiard balls.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
An Archer connection. Yeah. And that's all. That's all I wanted to say.
I forgot about that.
All right. Well, let's move on to Midnight Ron, which is a good parody title. And like the first one where we really get to know Ron, which I like. It's like a Ron Archer adventure. Archer is stuck in Canada because I love the scene when he drunkenly burns his
passport.
Very drunkenly burns his passport. Yeah. That is maybe the drunkest we ever have seen Archer. He was so drunk in that scene. And it's super funny. But I love I just like this. I like this episode. Like Ron, like Mallory's mad at both Ron and Archer, and Ron just goes to try and help Archer. But I like, we get all of Ron's backstory. I like that they kind of bond over this adventure. And I think Ron's a funny character, and I like his backstory a lot, that he used to steal cars, but now he went legit and bought a used car dealership.
And I love it too, because it's great that, you know, us as the audience and Mallory both just like have no fucking idea that this boring ass dude is secretly so cool.
Right.
And I love that. And I love that about Ron Cadillac. I think it's nice.
Ron Cadillac. Yeah, my real name isn't Ron Cadillac.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah.
Oh, it's good. This one made me laugh a lot. I like, it's just like a border hopping adventure. I guess there's kind of two border hopping adventures this season.
Yes,
but,
there are.
But a border hopping adventure is pretty, I think it's pretty fun. And I don't know what else. I just liked learning more about Ron. I laughed a lot learning about Ron. And I like that Archer was just like, yeah, she's going to see us all buddy buddy. That'll piss her off. You know, like he just wants to make his mom mad.
I know.
Tariq, you got anything else about Midnight Ron you like?
I got one thing I noted was that when Archer was calling everybody to send him $1,000, I think the last person he asked was Lana, which, yeah, I thought was funny that he picked Lana last.
Yeah.
Right.
I just thought that was important to note. I don't have the context written down, but I remember it. I just think that it's funny that all I wrote down was chlamydia.
That was,
I know why I wrote it, but I just think it's funny that that's all I wrote.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's super funny. God, Cheryl is a weird character.
She sure is. I love Judy Greer more than anything.
This whole cast is so good.
Yeah, they are, for real. This is the one that has that joke that I said that was really rough. I don't even remember the whole context of it.
Oh, the whole, it's not even just a joke.
The back half.
All of the back half with the truckers who, mm-hmm, they're like, yeah, it's like the butt of the joke is that they're all cross-dressing truckers or whatever. And there's just like a lot of like trans language jokes about like fair, about them, yeah, in that sequence, and it's just, yeah, like, oh man, this feels like,
yeah, at a
really
certain,
like, season
it was,
four
it was like a little uncomfortable for a while, but then I think the part that made me say whoa was when Archer said like the T-slur, and I was like, whoa, like I was,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
All
right.
Like, yeah, that was a lot.
Yep. Yeah. I forgot that was this episode. That back, like, half
it's
holds
weird
up
that,
poorly.
That's why I wanted to look up what year this was.
No, same. That's why, yeah, I looked it up, because I was just like, a lot of this stuff is like, mm-hmm, real dicey.
Yeah. It is just, again, yeah, I know I said this before, but it is so weird that like there's nothing quite this bad in any of the first three seasons. And there's a bunch of like, whoa,
right,
moments in season,
yeah,
four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move on then to Viscous Coupling episode. Where are we on? 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Viscous Coupling. Okay. So this episode made me kind of sad. This episode made me real bummed. And that is because the way they've moved Katya's character in this season makes me sad.
That, yeah, the plot is so rough. Like, it's sick. Like, it's so rough. That's one of my, yeah, that's one of my three notes. Like, why does she do that to him? That's so rough.
Yeah. She, like, so, like, obviously, this is following up the season finale of season three where Barry's stuck. But also, it turns out this is all just a plan for, like, Katya to keep, like breaking Archer's heart.
Yeah.
Which seemingly was not the point before. Like, it was like the previously, like, Katya never would have known. Like, in the first time we meet Katya and they get married, mm-hmm, Katya would not have never have expected that she was going to become like a cyborg or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that, yeah, was all genuine. And then when she comes back, she's really into it. And it's weird that they, like, once she moves on with Barry, now she's just kind of villain. She's just the villain. She's yeah. just become the villain. And it bums me out. Obviously, Archer is a douchebag. So, you know, it's like, it's weird to see him simp for someone. But,
I know. Yeah, that's true.
But it is like, it's a bummer because Archer loves her. He fucking loves her. So it makes me sad that it's all just them fucking with his emotions.
Yeah. I guess though that is a different feeling that I had this time around watching this season, where I guess probably just because I'm older and I'm so exhausted with men's shit. I just am. The audacity of men has just run me ragged. But I used to have an easier time feeling sorry for Archer. And at this point, everything he does, I'm just like, you're the fucking worst and you deserve every bad thing that happens to you. Like, and I find myself getting like more like, fuck you, you know? So like, so watching this episode, I didn't really feel sad. It was a bummer. It did suck, but I was also just like, but you're such a bad person.
I get it.
I can't feel bad for you. Like, I just can't.
I get it.
I don't know. I get it for sure, but I think watching through the whole show is like, the show's kind of about, not to like excuse Archer's actions, but the show is about how like how like the generational trauma from his horrendous mother has made him into the worst person. And so
you're preaching to the choir. I don't have a dad. Look at me. I'm chugging a beer on a fucking podcast right now. Do you think my life turned out the way that I wanted it to?
I don't know.
It
that sounds
not.
Pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, it sounds pretty rad to me.
No, you're right. It is cool. It's, you know, I'm just poor.
But
you know, I do understand all of like the past trauma stuff. And trust me, nobody understands that more than me. But at the same time, I just have a little less patience than I used to this time around.
What I was going to say was like that this, especially having rewatched the first two seasons, like one of the things that makes this story particularly heartbreaking is because of how Archer changes in the previous episodes
her. Yeah.
And so
I
like
know.
the Katya episodes are
really sweet. I know. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So like these are the moments, like especially when it has to do with Archer and Katya, where you feel like, oh my God, like Archer can be not horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can be.
Sure.
And so for that to then flip into like, oh man, he's going to be horrible again.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it bums me out. But also like Katya, is it like, I mean, we'll talk about it soon. There's another episode with Katya later, but like Katya, it feels like something flips in Katya's character.
Yeah.
Like in these episodes too, where all of a sudden she's just like fully villainous. You know, she's just like the head of the KGB and a villain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that bums me out, not just because Archer is sad, but because like, oh, I loved Katya and now she's bad.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely felt that too, for sure. Yeah.
It is like it, yeah, but it's a good episode. I do think it's a good episode. Overall, I like the following up of the Barry stuff. But I guess the one thing that I do like, even though I don't like that Katya's like become the villain, is that she is now superseded Barry, and Barry's like the sub. Katya's like in charge now.
Yeah.
which is like, okay, good. Barry sucks, but Barry's funny, but he sucks. You guys have any other thoughts on this episode?
We get a lot of these episodes that start out with like just how much everybody hates Archer.
Yeah.
A lot of episodes that start out like that. Like this one is literally just like, yeah, everybody, like he's just like, hey, you want to go get a drink? Nah, fuck out of here. Like, it's like, damn. Like, that's like the whole like first scene pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I noticed that. But and I think that's what like makes that's part of what makes like what happens to him late in the episode. It's like, damn, man, what? Like, but you know, I don't know. It like, I think the cool thing about the show in general is that they like molded like such like real human characters to the point where like you can have like nuanced conversations about whether or not you feel bad for them or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So oh, for sure. I think that's probably I think that's for the better.
Absolutely.
For sure. Is this the episode that reveals that Lana and Cyril are back together? Or is that
Wait, is it? I could have sworn I wrote that in my notes. Wait. It might not be this. Oh, yeah, I think it is this one because when he's trying to ask everybody to the bar, again he goes to Lana last.
And she keeps saying no.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was an interesting development. Obviously, it feels like there was a specific purpose for that development, which I guess we'll talk about within the next few episodes. But, but I thought that like that was an interesting move with those characters, and it felt very short lived. Like it's kind of just in the background of this, and it's kind of just like it's almost just this through line that's just like we're gonna confirm that Cyril and Lana don't work well together.
Yeah,
we're gonna just reestablish that it doesn't work. But it also kind of starts to. I think the purpose was to drive Lana and Archer closer together
It was kind of weird for me just because it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like they didn't. There wasn't. It's a funny bit, but there wasn't like a lead into it. I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Other than the fact that just like. Over the last two seasons, Cyril and Lana have been like very alone. You know what I mean? Like, it does feel like they at least were, that was pretty established. Even though they didn't necessarily hint at any sort of like reconnection between the two. But I do like that they very firmly established like immediately, Lana says something like the ground rules for this whole arrangement. So carefully negotiated. Like there's a lot of baggage going on in this relationship that they've like recoupled up, which feels correct. imagine there would be.
Makes sense.
But it's pretty interesting. You guys any other thoughts on this one?
Nah.
Cool. All right, let's move on to viscous coupling. No, that's the one we just did. Once bitten.
Yeah.
Once bitten. This is the episode where Archer gets bit in the taint by a snake.
That sounds so bad, dude.
Yep, it sounds
like,
awful.
That just sounds really bad, and I don't want that to happen to me. And frankly, I don't want it to happen to either of you.
Well, I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
Truly. I care about you guys, and I care about your taints, and I don't want them to get
this. You're the nicest guest we've ever had. No guest has ever told us that.
No guest has ever come on and told you that they care about your taints. Well, I'll be the first.
You think Man of a Thousand Thoughts would show a little compassion, but I didn't know that.
Oh my god. Oh, that's a good way to start this one. I really like this episode because of the like near-death flashback stuff. That stuff is crazy.
Yeah.
It's really wild that like I just like the way they explore all of Archer's like traumas and horrible upbringing. And you learn some crazy shit. It's pretty insane. Like the whole revelation that Archer was like going to be a professional lacrosse player, but got shot by a crazy stalker. That ruined his like potential career is crazy. Like you kind of knew there was a lot of crazy stuff going on in his past, and we've seen little hints of it, but that's definitely like the biggest, most traumatic one, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. The dog birthday party thing I thought was pretty fucked up. If we have to rank Archer's most traumatic childhood moments, I think that would
birthday.
Be my number one.
Dog
like,
birthday
not,
party.
Not saying that I wouldn't choose Pugsley over anyone any day, but yeah, but that one that caused me to shed a little tear on the inside.
Duchess. That is like a funny through line. That was established in the pilot that she loved that dog more than anyone. Yeah,
that's why I personally believe that's the most fucked up. That's just my opinion, though.
Not even just established in the pilot, but established in the cold open of the pilot. It's one of the first things they reveal. That's crazy. But yeah, I like the way... Is this parodying a movie? This has got to be parodying a movie, right? Let me look at this. I'm sure it is. The way that it's... The way that it's like...
I can tell you.
Oh, Mikey, what's it parodying? Yeah.
So once bitten, when he goes to heaven and he's in the gray tracksuit, right?
Yes.
So that is Heaven Can Wait, starring Warren Beatty. Really, really fun movie. It was later remade with Chris Rock and was called Down to Earth.
Oh, yeah, Down to Earth.
Oh, Down to Earth was fucking great. I loved that. I rented that from Blockbuster so many times.
I feel like Down to Earth was a movie I remember seeing the trailer for and as a kid was like, I can't wait to see that movie. And I don't know if I ever saw it. Maybe I did. Maybe I just don't remember
really?
Much about it.
Remember. Well, it's very good.
Wasn't he doing, and he's doing stand up as the old rich man, right? He's going to crush people with his wallet.
He's a comedian because in the Warren Beatty version, he's like an athlete. And then he dies and then they're like, oh, we made a mistake. You shouldn't have died. So we'll put you in somebody else's body. And so he has to try to be an athlete in somebody else's body.
Oh.
And so they did it with comedy where Chris Rock has to, you know, play the Apollo. And
No, you just reminded me. My mom did show me Heaven Can Wait because I rented Down to Earth so many times that she was like, you should see the original. And I was like, okay, I totally forgot about it. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful Warren Beatty reminder.
It's a nice gray tracksuit.
It's a nice gray tracksuit.
It's a great look.
He does look good in it. He didn't like it, right? He said he didn't like it.
He said he hates hoodies.
He hates hoodies.
Which,
that's right.
Fuck off. Hoodies are the fucking best. Yeah, that's offensive.
My cartoon wears a hoodie.
You could that's only like say that you hate hoodies in 2013. You could not say that shit now.
Yeah, and I mean, like,
problematic joke out of Archer.
And he had a zip up hoodie on, you loser. Put a pullover on. That's probably why you hate it.
Oh man. I really liked that whole aspect of the episode though. The whole like going back through his life and looking through all of, you know, it's looking through his history and like the things that made him the way he is. Especially because we've gotten that in small doses, but this is the first time that like kind of a whole episode has been about it. And it's really good. I really, really like this episode.
I also like it. It's nice.
It's nice.
I thought this one was fun. It is like low on my end, but I do appreciate all the stuff that it does. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think also it might be because of the rate in which I consume these episodes. This was right before I took like an hour break. So maybe I needed that. Maybe if I took it before, I probably would have enjoyed it more. But but the thing is that like I think overall that this season is really good. So I don't think that there's a bad one in here anyway. So even like my lower ones, I still think of like good, and I still think this one is good. So
hell yeah. Well, with that, let's move on to Live and Let Dine with Anthony Bourdain. Rest in peace,
dude. RIP. This one was so fucking great. I honestly forgot that this one was season 4, and so when
I forgot this one existed,
I got to it and I was so delighted. I was like, damn, this season has Bob's Burgers and Anthony Bourdain. Like, I was like, I'm so fucking lucky that they picked me for this episode. This season, you know, like I was so stoked. I fucking loved this episode. I completely forgot it was a part of this season.
It's smart because it's like, it's weirdly like a crossover slash parody, but it's not really. It's like
because it's a parody of Gordon Ramsay.
Right, exactly. But using Anthony Bourdain.
Doing a parody of Gordon Ramsay, which is very bizarre and also fucking great.
He's really funny in it. And I also just like the premise and also the ultimate reveal that the only reason there was like a fake threat was that
because she wanted to eat there.
She wanted to eat there. She just wanted a table at the restaurant, which is like, there's a lot of stuff like that about Mallory this season. The next episode has one of those as well. There's a lot where it's just like, I mean, they do that throughout the show, but it's all where it's always just like, oh, Mallory just did something very selfish for money or for herself.
But like
or
that
for,
just what? Gave me the idea that next time I want to get you to come get pretzel bites with me at that restaurant by my house, I'm going to make up a fake emergency just to get you out here. And then you're going to be like, holy shit. Oh my God. Are you okay? And I'm going to be like, yeah, let's get pretzel.
John, I need a ride to the hospital. I'm at the Pretzel Bite restaurant.
Yeah, Brett is also dead. Brett's already dead. I need a ride to the hospital. I don't want to pay for an ambulance, but okay, the hospital's this way, and then I just take you to the Jack in the Box parking lot where the Pretzel Bite restaurant is.
Well, now it's not going to work.
So. No, it still is.
It might.
It might work. We'll see.
Dude, I'm going to just lie so convincingly that like there's going to be no way you can say no to rushing over.
Just sobbing.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a hysterical. Call him on fucking FaceTime, sob, like mascara, just all of it.
You're committed.
That's when you,
come to this restaurant with me.
That's when you bring out the voice note, because after you get off FaceTime, you just
yes. Yeah, and then I start sending him voice notes of me just crying.
Yeah. That would get him.
Well, maybe it will work. Maybe it's going to work. Maybe this is going to work out. I really liked seeing. This is kind of a thing that I started to realize as the show went on more and more is like, I like seeing all of the characters from the agency in new work settings. And that partially started because I liked Archer Vice. And then I also liked when they became PIs and then they started doing the themed seasons. But even before the like, which I've never even watched, even before the space season came out, I constantly thought about how much I wanted to see the Archer crew, but like as the crew of like a Star Trek starship. I was like, oh my God, like that, like there's the inter-office dynamics would be so fun in so many different settings, which obviously the writers ultimately saw as well, because they do so many episodes like this and they do so many, like they started doing the themed seasons. But this is a specific one where I'm like, oh man, they probably could have done a whole season or at least like a few episode arc where they're trying to run a restaurant instead. You know what I mean? Like there's like the dynamics between the characters work so well for almost any scenario like that. So this is a fun one for me for that reason. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like the format change, even like in the, especially like in the cold open with like they're doing all the stuff with like the camera. I like this.
Yeah.
With these characters.
Yeah, and they're playing it like it's the reality show, like it's Hell's Kitchen or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, that stuff with the bowl in the opening is so funny. Like when they keep
dropping the bowl,
it's such good sound design too, because you know exactly what it is, and it's like spinning, it's like a full 15 seconds of it spinning, and then Archer's like, "Whoops!" Like, it's just like he says it after it stops.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's so good. I love those jokes.
Oh, and we talked about it earlier, but like, there's a lot of animals this season, and one of them is the fish. I think it was a Mallory fish. And it emotes a little bit. Which, like, they do that, too, with, like, a couple of the other animals. But, like, she's like, don't look at me like that. And the fish is just kind of like this. Like, it's... I think that's really funny, too. I like that they play around with that. Because the show is animated, so they could do whatever they want. And I like that they play with that.
Me, too. There is a lot of animal stuff in this show.
This whole season, there's a lot of animals, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of animals in this season. Even though they didn't show the cobra that bit his taint, there is a cobra.
Yeah, we know that there's a cobra, and thanks to Cyril's perfect description, we can all picture it in our little minds.
Even from the beginning, though, like, I guess that's kind of an established thing with Archer and animals. Like, Archer has such a weird connection to animals, but that's established in the pilot when they flash back to, like, he wakes up and there's a pug in his bed. And he's just like, he's like, why the fuck is there a dog in my bed? And then they flash back, and when he's drunk, he's like holding it, and he's just like, no, because you have to be okay with it, because this pug is the coolest pug ever. Yeah. and it's like his name is Abelard, I think. Abelard, yeah. The pug. But
that's,
yeah, like
pretty much exactly how I act when I'm drunk. I just walk around. Listen, though, yeah. This is the coolest one ever.
Do it again, Abelard. And then he barks. He goes, that's putting on the Ritz, man. it's so good.
Wait,
speaking
of Ritz, I think it's so funny that Ron just carries around crackers and jelly.
Yeah.
That shit is so funny.
And it's and I also love that Mallory is like, I told you not to do that. They were just in my tuxedo from last time.
Yeah, from last time. That was the best.
It's so funny.
When I lived in New York, I was always wearing a fucking coat because obviously it's freezing. But obviously I would also always be snacky. And so I would just put like cookies in my pockets a lot of the time. And I would be walking around with cookies in my pockets. And actually it saved someone's life one day because this girl was like, fuck, my blood sugar's low and I'm diabetic and I don't have my meds. God. And I was like, bitch, I got a pocket cookie. Here you go.
That's amazing. Everyone should carry cookies around for that reason.
No, they really should. It just loose cookies in your pocket. And then like at the end of the night when you go home, you have to like dump all the crumbs out of your jacket. It's really fun. It's like a
Or you could just keep the crumbs in there for later.
Or you just keep the crumbs in there to grow mold inside the damp, wet darkness that is your coat pocket in the winter in New York.
I like how everybody has a story about why they keep certain things on them. And like, yours is cookies. Mine's is like money.
I wish mine was money. Let me tell you that.
One time, because my grandfather used to always say, like, even if I had like my card on me, he'd always tell me to keep money in my pocket, like paper money. And I never really understood the value of that until it was one day where it was like, fucking like, I don't know, like 10, 15 degrees. And it was early in the morning. We all had to get to school. And I was at my bus stop waiting for the city bus. And one of my friends comes by. He doesn't even fucking live by me. So that's why I was confused while he was walking past me. And he was, because he lived like 10 blocks down. And he's like, yeah, nah, I don't have any money. So I'm walking to school. And his school was like, he had another 30 minutes ahead of him. Like, yeah. if he kept walking, said I had $1. I had $1 in my wallet. And I gave him the dollar, and he didn't have to die. Oh, and ever since then, I always kept money in my pocket.
Dude, no, that's a lifesaver, too. That's just as life-saving as cookies, man.
You guys save people's lives with the shit in your pockets. I got to start carrying more stuff in my pockets.
Yeah, John. What's interesting about you?
Have something in your pockets, man.
Yeah, what the fuck is in your pocket? You know, like, it's like the what's in your wallet commercial, but it's what's in your pocket.
What's in your wallet? Crackers and jam.
Yeah!
In your tuxedo pocket.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good stuff. Okay, so I will say, then the reveal at the end of the episode that Anthony Bourdain was trying to kill this guy the whole time is pretty good. Pretty good reveal. But then he just gets killed by Katya. He's flying off with Katya, and he does another bumper, and she just kills Anthony Bourdain, chef man. why is Katya so mean now? That's a great point, Johnny. And folks, that's where we're going to wrap up the first half of our episode this week. I want to thank Michael Yunez for producing and editing our podcast. I want to thank Carrie Feek for our amazing artwork. I want to thank Jake Neutron for our theme song. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Tariq for being my co-host. I want to thank Whitney for being our guest. Keep an eye out for the Patreon. Right. That's going to be coming soon. We've already recorded Shrek Drunk. It's really great. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's great and green. And with that, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.